Hi, everyone. Russ Thomas here from RST Coaching Academy. Welcome to a new episode of Money Talks, where we talk about money and how to make more of it.
Hey, hello, everybody. Money Talks World. Glad to have you on board today. We're excited here in Daytona Beach to have my friend from up the road. I'm in Daytona Beach. My friend Manish Bakshi is up in Palm Coast, which is maybe just a half an hour north of me. We are friends and we are colleagues in the same business with the Grant Cardone 10X Certified Coaching Academy business. And we all have a story. And so I invited Manish on today to tell you his story, and let's get on with it, okay? So Manish, you're on. Tell us where you, welcome, by the way. Tell us where you came from, where you're at, where you see yourself going, okay?
Sure, Russ. I really appreciate the opportunity. And it's a great group of very successful people who have decided that they want to, number one, take their business to the next level, but also more important is learn and grow in the process. And the impact that they can make in the lives of other people is what brings people together. So Russ, thanks for having your commitment to help other people learn new skills. And there is no time like today is to keep doing it. So I appreciate your commitment to learning and growing. Thank you, Russ.
You bet. You too. We're all in this together, man.
We are all in this together. Exactly. So to give you a quick background, I was born in India. I was born in a city which is Agra, very famous for Taj Mahal. So if you have heard of somebody who's like, oh, Taj Mahal is in India. Well, it's in the city called Agra, which is the city I was born in. And my accent, as you can guess, Russ, is not from Palm Coast, not from Daytona. It's from India. And I'm sure people can recognize that easily. So growing up, I was in what I thought was a lower middle class, which now I realize was poor because the standards change as we grow. Everybody around me was the same. Like nobody had a phone, right? Okay, we all lived in small, like apartment kind of structure, right? And we called it a home. My parents worked hard. My mother worked at home. My father was in the Indian Air Force and we were five kids. And how they brought us up on that salary, I have no idea. Looking back, it just makes like, how did they ever do it? So they survived, we survived, and they taught me that go to good school, get a good education, and then you can be set for life, which really, for what I knew at that time, that was really good enough for me. I was good academically, so I went to bachelor's in electrical engineering, master's in systems from one of the top colleges in India, and then I became a computer programmer, except I hated my job. And 1999, when I got, quote, fired, because I was an independent contractor, I had to start reevaluating to say, why am I not doing well when I did really well in school and colleges? Well, the reality is that most of us have very specific talents and preferences. And if we don't use those talents in the right profession, working 8 hours a day, day in, day out, sooner or later, we get burnt out. We don't enjoy our job because it doesn't match with our situation. And I thought I was a loser, which is the reason I wrote the book, as you can see in the back, Stop Hiring Losers, Million Dollar Team Secrets. So I was the loser in this case because I was the person who was not a good fit for the job. And since then, I decided to start my own business of being an author, speaker, and a business coach, which is how I developed my career. And the most important part about all of this is I want to help people recognize the value that they have specific to their talents. And if that's a good match, they're going to flourish. The team, the company is going to flourish. If not, both people are going to be disappointed. So my mission is to help employers build a winning team with the right people in the right role.
Is that quite the challenge?
Well, there is a book called Good to Great by Jim Collins. And he talks about people being in the right seat in the bus, right? And what he wants to mention there is that if you don't have the right person doing the role that is relevant and important, then guess what happened is over a time period, the person won't do as great a job. You don't have the best productivity out of this person. And the person isn't happy either. So as an employer, as a business owner, as a team builder, one of the key responsibilities is to make sure when you are hiring, they are going to be a good fit. To give you an example, I'm more of a people person. I like to, just like you, I think, to some degree, engage with people, interact with people. But the job that I was doing was computer programming, which was sitting at a desk, basically,
right,
not
code.
As many people. Exactly. And though I had the skill, because I have a bachelor's in electrical, I didn't just electrical engineering and a master's in systems engineering and management. So I obviously had the knowledge, right? I had the skill to be able to perform the work, but my intentions, inclinations, and preferences were away from that type of job. At some point, I'm going to reach a, like, this is not going to work out for me. I'm not enjoying it. I should do something different. And I was confused. I was not in a place where I felt anybody understood what I was looking for. But I didn't have an outlet because I know I'm good at doing this. This is how I make money. I feed my family. If I don't do this, what can I do next? So the sooner, the younger. So for example, college, high school even, if children can find out that they are naturally suited for certain professions and not the other ones. And I'll give you an example, Russ. I met with a lady who, you know, nice lady working for one of my clients. And we had a conversation and she said, Vinesh, I did my master's in social work, which basically is a 4-year degree plus 2 years. And there's an internship process there as well. And she said, and I'm like, this is not what you do for my client here. Your job is totally different. What happened? She said, Vinesh, while I was interning, subbing, so to speak, as a teacher, if that's the model you want to think of, I found out I don't like this. How expensive is it, Russ, in terms of time, money, energy that you spend from 18 to, let's say, 24 years old and decide this is not the route to go?
It's a sad deal.
Mm-hmm.
Very sad deal. And ultimately, when the person doesn't really have the, what the, they may have the talent, you know, the education, but doesn't have the drive, doesn't have the ambition, doesn't have the passion to do the specific job. Maybe
right.
What they went to school for, you know, 4, 6, 8 years for, and that is going to create a lot of frustration in them and ultimately for their employer also, right?
Exactly.
It's not a good thing. What do you think about aptitude tests? For a person to take an aptitude test, maybe at a younger age, that helps them be able to focus in a little bit more of internally what their bent is, basically. Whether they're aware of it or not, that's the purpose of the aptitude test. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it totally. And I think this is where we come down to, and I don't want to call it a test because I just understand in our vocabulary, test means right, wrong.
Yeah, no, there's right? No pass or fail. Yeah.
Right. So for example, I'm 5'4" and you know, I'm not tall, but I'm well grounded. You know what I'm saying? My feet touch the ground. So it's not right and wrong. It's just what it is.
Yeah.
And you look at it from a perspective of a recruit, an agent, you know, solicitor, so to speak, somebody who's looking for agents for NBA, right?
Uh-huh.
You're looking for National Basketball Association player. They discriminate against short people like us. They discriminate against slow people like us. They discriminate against relatively now older people like us. They're like, hey, I only want young, fast, tall people. And I'm like, well, it may sound discriminatory on one side to, you know, tongue in the cheek, so to speak. But on the other side, to win in a team, you need a certain type of a player.
Sure.
Okay. Otherwise, it's a square peg in the round hole.
All right.
And I think people need to realize early on in life that you have certain inherent talents which are going to be better utilized in certain positions. And the sooner you realize, which is the reason I'm finishing a book called 7 Critical Career Skills They Don't Teach in Schools.
Right.
And the subtitle that goes with it is how to be AI proof, how to AI proof your career, right? Because a lot of people's jobs will be gone with AI. There is no question about that. Why? Because You can just put in something in the ChatGPT is one of the common ones nowadays being used, and you can get a lot of answers and information, and people can get summaries, you know, graphics, they can get programming done. So as artificial intelligence becomes more and more advanced, the skills that will be more relevant are people skills, in my opinion, right? So if you can make people feel comfortable, if you can create that sense of empathy with them, if you can help them see what problems they have and help them solve those problems, you are going to be in demand for a while, because artificial intelligence isn't going to make that easy for people, right? Because artificial intelligence at the end of the day is still pattern recognition and predicting and then behaving according to that pattern, which in this case, you and I don't want to be talking to a robot. You know what I'm saying? Unless you're just not people person. That's a separate issue. But you feel good about yourself when you're around people who make you feel good, okay? Who listen to you, who provide you that empathy, who solve your problems. So I think it goes back to understanding fully that we all have inherent talents. We need to learn about those talents sooner than later. And that's why I provide a battery of online assessments to make sure people can actually deliver. You know what I'm saying, right? Uh-huh. Okay, on the promise of what the project job is and the requirements are. And I've had, luckily enough, clients all over the country who use these services, because they know if they make a mistake in hiring, they're going to be in trouble. In fact, one example I'll give you is I have a friend, a client, and he tried to pigeonhole his son into a role. And I told him, don't do that. This is not going to work out. I know what you want for your son, and your son kind of agrees with you, wants to do it, but it's not a natural fit. He had to come back and say, Vinesh, it's not working out. I said, I told you. You are trying to do something without realizing that he's not going to succeed at it. And when you realize they cannot succeed at it, please give them another opportunity in something else. Is that helping you understand, Russ, what I
think? Oh, absolutely. You know, many, many years ago, it was just an unwritten rule or unwritten law that whatever the father did, the son was going to do too. And that's just how it was. I don't know how or when that rule was ever broken and people were free to go off on their own and find their own way. I know my dad was a professional photographer up in Madison, Wisconsin, where I was born and raised. And he bought me a camera, a 35 millimeter camera, when I was a kid, and was teaching me how to use this thing. And it was back in those days when you had all these dumb little settings you had to make in order to finally take a picture. And I just wasn't getting it. And so I set it aside, had no interest in that whole world. I'm not artsy or anything like that. And so I walked away from it. He was probably disappointed. Now, my brother is 9 years younger than me, who has a passion for art and graphic design. He would have been a great fit for that. But by the time he was old enough to maybe get involved in this, my dad he actually went out of business. So it's just unfortunate. But when we don't find ourselves in something that stirs us emotionally, that stirs us challenge-wise, that's back to the frustration that I mentioned before. There's a verse in the Bible, let's see if I can paraphrase it. For a man to find satisfaction in his work is a gift of God. And that is worth so much. When you're fulfilled, you have to work. People have to work, but to do something that brings you satisfaction because it fits you, that's worth a lot, isn't it?
I totally agree with you. And it's interesting you should mention something about your father. And I remember distinctly because my father was a photographer as well.
Lo and behold.
And he was very specific, detailed type of person. And I'm just the opposite, by the way. And my father was not a patient teacher. I look back and, you know, we didn't have a lot of things. So we had one bicycle amongst seven of us, right? Yeah. So we didn't have this tricycle. You learn, and then you, like my children learned very early in their life because they had access to these new things, right? And in my case, these were taller bicycles. I was short, couldn't really, you know, go over. And this was the gents' bicycles, which means they are high and they have that bar. It's hard, you know, it's like, how do you jump over the bar when you are short, correct? I mean, all that kind of stuff. So I remember one day he took me, I'm in seventh grade. So imagine, like 11, 12 years old, right? And he's showing me about, and I'm struggling, you know what I'm saying? In 5-10 minutes, whatever time, he's like, you will never learn. He's gone.
Oh no, uh-oh.
Okay, and the reason I mentioned that is we all have certain things which we pick up faster than other people.
Right.
And we need to be aware that what comes naturally to me may not come naturally to somebody else. And if I'm an employer, I'm a business owner, I need to be aware of that when I'm hiring people. Because one of the mistakes I find people make is, hey, I can train anybody to do the job. No, you can't. No, you can't. Okay. Because some jobs are not for those people. For example, when we go shopping to a place like Home Depot, right? Lowe's or any one of those, I sit in the parking lot and wait while my wife goes shopping. For those who didn't get the part of it, is when it comes to hammer and nails and stuff, I'm not the guy. Now, here is the funny part. This is, Russ, blows my mind. I know this is not maybe positive in one way, but let's just share that with
you. It's your story.
It's my story. Exactly.
That's what we want to hear, man.
Exactly. So here is the funny part. Like I said, I did really well in school. Okay. I was number one in my electrical engineering class and got a gold medal in my bachelor's, right? And I went to one of the top universities in India for systems engineering and management. This is the university where a lot of CEOs in US come from. So when you talk about Sundar Pichai, Google CEO, he came from the same college I came from. Okay. And it's not like a huge campus of 10,000 people. This is like a smaller campus because you had to qualify at a very high level to be able to get there. And whenever you say to people, like you say MIT, there is something called IIT in India, which is similar, right? The concept of.
Okay.
So anyway, the reason I'm saying is not to brag, but I'm just pointing out that when you look at paper, my credentials look pretty good. But I'm the worst engineer in my family of four. My daughter, my son, my wife are a lot better in breaking and assembling stuff than I ever will be. So I'm telling you that as an employer, if I don't keep that in mind, and I say, okay, I'm looking at the resume. I'm talking to this interview. In this interview, this is an impressive person. It's like, yeah, but that's not their job.
Yes. Right. Yeah.
If you need to type, you need to check whether they can type, right? And will they do an excellent job in the 8 hours that they have to do with total, like you said, passion, desire, and everything else. And the more employers realize that when they're hiring, it's not about convincing the person to get hired, and it's not about letting that person convince you in an interview. It's more about seeing the bigger picture and saying, okay, have I found enough ways during this process of screening that this person can do the job that is really expected at the best level possible?
Right. Makes sense. And when you're looking for an employee, you don't want another you. You want somebody that's going to complement you, basically, with skills, abilities, and so on that maybe you don't have that are going to suit the job. I mean, let's say telemarketing. Cold call, phone prospecting. You know, most people just hate that. All right. The employer says, man, I can't do that. He needs to hire somebody that has a propensity to be able to do that. You know, when I started RST Coaching Academy, I mentioned to my pastor, who's 40 years old, I said, hey, would you be interested in doing any cold call prospecting for me? And he said, oh, no, he's now he's done sales and he's done well in sales. But he said, I'm just not, that's just not for me. Well, I was speaking to him through the open window in their car, and his wife was sitting in the passenger seat, and she piped up and said, I can do that. And it was just hilarious that he said, I can't do that. And yet she, overhearing the conversation, said, I can do that. No problem. Well, she ended up pregnant and is going to give birth this month sometime. And so she's out of the running for actually cold calling. But I did hire a lady in Dominican Republic this week that is going to be doing this. And she's a soft-spoken young lady. But she says, I can do this. And I said, you know, you're going to take a lot of flack. You know, you're going to get some abuse. She said, I won't take it personally. And it's like, go for it, girl. But she is somebody that has that propensity, that willingness to learn and to put it to work. So we don't want somebody that's us. We want somebody that's going to be better than us in certain categories, certain positions, right? Otherwise, we don't have anything useful.
Exactly. I totally agree with you. And I think that's a good story right there. Coincidentally, just while we are speaking, my daughter is on a mission trip to Dominican Republic right now. She's
oh, wow.
Tomorrow.
Cool.
And this camp is right on the ocean. She sends me pictures. I'm like, wow, you know, it's beautiful. Like, are you on vacation or are you on a mission trip?
Yeah, right. Yeah, working for the Lord real hard, sacrificing for the Lord. Yeah. Indeed. Oh, wow.
So, yeah, but I think what you're saying is exactly what I'm talking about, is we must be aware of the strengths and weaknesses of the people we are hiring. And I have a 7-step process to walk people through in order to help make sure they have the right vision, the positions that they have identified, and the right people in the right role in order for them to be able to get to the next level. Because if they don't evaluate the whole process, sooner or later, they're going to find it difficult.
I see.
And you're not in your lane, you're always going to be questioning yourself. You're not
right.
Going to be enjoying that. You will dread, right? Monday
exactly.
Is another day that they don't want to be there.
Right. Now, that 7-step process, is that something that you would share with a person one-on-one over the phone or through a seminar, or is it in one of your books?
It's in my book, Million Dollar Team Secrets.
Okay. All right. I want to check the time here real quick.
Sure.
And we're getting close to time for you. I understand that you've got another meeting to get to, and I want to respect that. So would you talk to somebody that's maybe just starting out in business, or even somebody that has a desire to become an entrepreneur? They have that bent, that passion, and they say, I am tired of working for the man. I want to be my own man and my own business, and this is what I want to do. Talk to that person, give them some advice as how to get started, how to break through and to break the ice into this thing called entrepreneurship.
Well, very good point. So that's a very good question. And I'm coaching one person right now, actually, interestingly speaking. He's quite young. He's not even 23, 24, maybe. Anyway, and it's interesting. So he's working for a company, does really well, but he wants to build his own business.
Uh-huh.
Fantastic. So let me give you some ideas about it. The first thing you and I need to look at is, what do you really want? Like, business is fine, right? But what do you really want? What do you want in your finances, what you want in your family? Like, you want to look at the whole picture, because you must ask yourself, why do I really want to be in business? Because if you and I go after a business, but it doesn't support the bigger picture of what we want in life, at some point, there's going to be a disconnect.
Right.
A lot of people who are very successful, and sooner or later, they run up into getting a divorce, their health is not good, you know, all these kind of other things happen to them, which is not because of the business, it's just because they never had a complete picture of where they want to be and what they want.
Uh-huh.
That's the first thing I recommend people to do, is understand what is it that you want. Like, you can't start a business and say, hey, I want to be back in my family by 5 p.m. and then you're in a restaurant, you run a restaurant which has dinner time. It's like, no, when you start a restaurant,
you're going to be at work, yeah.
At dinner time, you're going to be at work. Yep. So understanding your priorities is going to be very, very helpful. The second part that you and I need to work on is no business is going to give you a plan that you will succeed guaranteed. It doesn't work like that. Unless you are willing to engage and learn, you will not get success. Now you understand the mindset you have to walk into with total commitment in order to make it happen. Now, there are certain things which are very critical. Some businesses are going to be more suited to your style than some other businesses. But here are a couple of qualities I have found through my experience, which I use in my assessments. If you don't have enough desire to be money motivated, then you should either find a partner, mentor, coach, or somebody to partner up with you in order to stay focused on money. Because the biggest reason businesses go under is lack of cash flow, right? And again, Grant says that you need enough qualified leads and people who are willing to pay right now, which is really cash flow. But the person who is not as motivated by money, and when I say money, I just don't mean money as a greedy person. I'm saying money means they do the business and they keep their eye on the ball to say, hey, profit is critical because without profit, I can't succeed.
Yep.
And if they don't have that mindset, being in business on their own is going to be very, very difficult and they will go under because they didn't understand that profit is what will keep it going. And if they don't understand that component, which some people don't, naturally, some people don't have a profit bent. They just don't. And if they don't have as much of profit bent going in your own business, you better surround yourself with the right people. Otherwise, you'll end up one day working hard and not getting the results you're looking for. So I provide an assessment called Motivators, which tells me how likely is this person going to succeed being in sales or being in their own. Because without that component, it's going to be hard. It's just going to be upstream for them. So that's a valuable one to, in my opinion, to use that. So if people are interested, they can go to my website, mbaxi.com, and really they can join the Facebook group that I have currently called Successful Seven-Figure Entrepreneurs. It's for people who want to be. I'm looking at changing the title a little bit because it's more about creating your highly profitable sales team, which is really my focus to teach people.
Exactly. Would you list the books that you have written? Just go through the names of each one and it might trigger something in somebody that would say, you know, I'm interested in that book, and then they want to contact you.
Well, thank you. The first one is Stop Hiring Losers.
Yeah.
Like I said, you know, I was a loser in the wrong profession. If Lakers are looking for a player, they're not looking for Manish Bakshi. You know, I'm just not going to be a good fit for them. And same thing goes with, and the second book is a step-by-step, 7 steps on building a team and checking if you have the right people in the right team. So Stop Hiring Losers and Million Dollar Team Secrets, those books are available on Amazon as well. So people who are serious about, you know, at least getting more information, go ahead and do that. Or they can go to my website, mbaxi.com, in order to get some links to download the information that would be helpful to them.
Great. And do you take phone calls?
Yes, I do.
Okay. What is your phone number for the people?
248-866-0063.
There you have it, folks. Hope you wrote that down. Say that one more time, Manish.
248-866-0063.
Okay. And your website one more time?
mbaxi.com. mbaxi.com, which is first initial M and my last name, Bakshi.
B-A-X-I, mbaxi.com.
Exactly.
There you have it, folks. He's been around the block. He started out, well, he's obviously a genius based on his education. He had to be very smart in order to accomplish what he's accomplished. But once he had accomplished all that, he found that it wasn't satisfied. And instead of staying plugged into that dissatisfying career, he had the good sense to look around and break away from that, go off on his own, and now here he is. And he's at the point where he's able to help other people that may or may not be in the same situation that he had been in, but nevertheless, to be able to help other people to be able to make the most of their talents and abilities and to get into something, create something for themselves that's going to be long-lasting, enduring, hopefully a legacy for their family, an inheritance for their children and their children's children, as we're supposed to provide. You're on the right track, Manesh. I'm really pleased with what you've done. It's really great. Even though we're 30 minutes apart up the road, you know, we need to spend more time together. And we are both licensees with Grant Cardone as certified business coaches. But the interesting thing is we come from different backgrounds, and we may focus on different aspects of our coaching licenseeship, basically, if you will. And so I'm delighted, and I'm sure my audience has been delighted to hear your story, hear your thoughts, your philosophy of business, job satisfaction, what it's going to take to get to where a person really wants to go. And I think where a person really wants to go, wouldn't you say that that's going to have to start with a person deciding where they want to go? If they're just going to show up and do something and it's just one thing at a time, every day is the same with no goal, they won't even know when they've succeeded or not, I guess, right?
I agree with you 100%.
So anyway, I need to let you go so you can get on with your next appointment, on with your day. But there you have it, folks. We're just sitting here chatting here with Manesh, and trust that you gained some insight for yourself out of what he had to say, out of our conversation. And we just want to let you go, Manesh, and on with your day. Folks, thanks again for tuning in. And we'll see you next time on Money Talks. We'll have a new person to interview. And we're just taking this down the road with everybody that wants to go. We're on a journey. Manesh and I, our colleagues, we're all on a journey. And we invite you to come with us. We don't know everything, but we know enough. And we are plugged into a source based on 30 plus years of experience in business and sales and coaching, that we can be a benefit to you. So with that, I'll let everybody go, and I'll just say over and out. Thanks again, Manesh. We will catch you later. All right, take care, man. Bye-bye. Hi, thanks for being here today for another episode of Money Talks. I hope it was informative and encouraging to you. If it struck a chord in your heart, or if you have any questions or comments, please let us know. Visit us at rstcoachingacademy.com, call 386-286-2450, or send an email to email@rstcoachingacademy.com. Thanks again, and until next time, be great.